It's wonderful to be here. I've been missing the last few weeks. Been having a great time. Last week I was in Sunningdale, and that congregation's really doing well at the moment. And the 2 weeks before that, I was actually up in Zambia, in Lusaka, having an amazing time with Gospel Central Church mainly, and also a mini 412 conference that we had for the guys in Zambia and Zimbabwe. Really a very busy and fruitful time. I think I was there 9 days. I preached 20 times. We had about 6 elders meetings and leaders meetings, and yeah, but it was amazing. We had a Bible. They ran their first ever Bible school, which was Monday to Friday, 7 till 9, and we got between 70 and 80 people each evening, which isn't bad for a church of 120. That from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And it really was incredible. But it's also incredible to be back and to be home in Meltboss and to be preaching. And what we're doing in Joshua Generation at the moment is we're doing something that we don't often do. We do it from time to time. And we've pulled all the lead elders together across the city, and we've asked all the lead elders this week to preach on the same thing. Because one thing is, with us being 24, any advance on 24, 25 congregations scattered across the city, you know, we obviously want to keep in unity. We want to move forward together. And so pulling the guys together to preach on one topic occasionally does help to do that. And so for this week and the following 2 weeks, we'll all be following the same plan. And the plan is something that we very specifically feel is a muscle that needs strengthening in Josh Gen at the moment. And that is the issue of hospitality. And what we're going to be doing over a 3-week period, we're going to be looking at what is hospitality, why we should be hospitable, and how we can be hospitable. And I'll be honest with you, one of the catalysts for this, one of the reasons that we started to look at this was with our 412 conference coming up, we said, hey guys, we have hundreds of people coming from around the world, who can host? And the initial response wasn't very good. It's been much better since, and in the last week or two, a lot of people have responded, and I think there were a lot of people wanting to do it who just not got round to registering. But the reason for the preach isn't because we need hosts for the 412 conference. It's more a case of the fact that the response to the 412 conference illustrated that maybe there was something in us that wasn't as strong as it used to be. And hospitality isn't simply about hosting people for a conference. It's how we welcome people on a Sunday. It's about inviting people for dinner. It's all of those things. And we'll talk about the what next week, the why next week. But today we're talking about what is hospitality. And I think the fundamental thing we've got to understand before anything else is the Greek word usually used for hospitality means loving strangers. Because there's an element to hospitality we need to have as believers, as followers of Jesus, that is different to the hospitality of the world. Because it's easy to be hospitable with people that you like, isn't it? It's easy to get your mates around and people that you get on with and some of your family. Not all the family. Certainly not the in-laws. It's easy to, you know, let's watch rugby together with all my mates. What's not so easy is to include those who are very different. Maybe the unlovable. Maybe the outcasts. Maybe the socially awkward like me. And I'm not even joking, I am quite socially awkward at times. But we were singing a song earlier. When we were lost ones, you were the shepherd that carried us home. When we were prodigals, you ran to meet us with open arms. When we were refugees, you were the one who took us in. When we were enemies, you paid the price for all our sin. What is hospitality? First and foremost, it's what Jesus showed to us. That we weren't like him in any way. We could not add anything to his social circle that he needed. We could not benefit him in any way. In fact, to be our friend, to reach out to us, he had to give up everything, and it cost him everything. And he reached out to us, not just when we were socially awkward or a little bit different or outcast, but when we were still his enemies. That's quite a challenge, eh? That is the hospitality of Jesus. And Josh Jen has a remarkable reputation for hospitality. When I go to Brazil, and who's been to Brazil with me? And how great and how amazing is the hospitality in Brazil? It is mind-blowing, right? And yet they rave about our hospitality. They think we are incredible, and you know we have been. But sometimes we drift from our foundations. We drift from things that we held valuable at first. And sometimes it's because we get older and more set in our ways. Sometimes it's because our demographics change. You know, it's easy to open my house when it's just me and my wife, but now I've got two kids, it's a little bit more awkward, and I want to be a little bit more fussy about who I welcome into my house. Many justifications, but we can drift away from that value of what I have is not my own. And it belongs to Jesus. We can't live off our reputation. But the reputation that we have and the way that we lived was born out of a conviction about our theology. It wasn't just a good way to live. It wasn't just good ideas. It was born out of our conviction that we need to show the love of God to people, and that church is not a club or a society or something to be lived out on a Sunday, but it's family. When I was in Brazil, one of the guys said this to me. Oh, no, when he was in my house, a Brazilian guy that we were hosting. And he'd heard our infamous little phrase, what's in my fridge is yours, and what's in your fridge is mine. He'd heard that, and he kind of quite liked it and thought it was quite funny. And then he was in my house, and he was eating with us, and he said, oh, I get it. I said, get what? He said, that thing about the refrigerator, I get it now. I said, what do you mean? He said, no. He said, if I'm a visitor to your house, you may go to your refrigerator and bring something to me. But if I'm family, I go and fetch what I want from the refrigerator. And I'd never thought about it that way, but that's exactly right. That's the difference between a visitor and family. So who's my family? Yes, unfortunately, Hannah, so you are. That's why I have two fridges. I have a big fridge and a little fridge. So I can say what's in my little fridge is yours, Hannah. So otherwise I'll be... So this is a muscle I think we need to work again. I think it is something we need to reconsider, rework. And moving forward, we need to ask this question, and I've asked it a few times about a few different subjects. What would our lives look like if our practice matched our theology? How hospitable would we be if we really practiced what we believe? It's a challenging question. And so I want to look at a scripture. And we're going to look at Matthew 25 from verse 31. But before we read that, I want to give you a preamble, because Jesus is preaching, and this is just before he's about to be arrested and crucified. And he begins to tell some stories. And the first story he tells is of 10 virgins. the wise and the foolish virgins. And the picture there is half of the virgins are wise, half of them are foolish. And the foolish ones, they start out well with oil in their lamp. But the oil runs out. And then they're like, hey, can somebody get us more oil? And it's just too late. They started well and finished badly. And then he tells the story of a master who goes away and he gives his servants talents. He gives them money. He gives them a stewardship over something and says, here's some resources that I want you to steward and look after until I get back. And he doesn't give them all the same. He gives them different amounts. But when he comes back, all he asks for is that they've been faithful with what they've been entrusted with. And then he tells the story that we're about to look at. And it's essentially within the context of faithfulness with what we've been given. So from Matthew 25, from verse 31. And I was tempted to play a Keith Green song for this, but the song is about 7.5 minutes, so it would cut into my preaching time too much. But you can go and listen to it in your own time. It's really good. Just Google Keith Green, The Sheep and the Goats, and you'll get it. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's a difficult passage in many ways. The Keith Green song ends like this. He says, and the only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to this scripture, is what they did and didn't do. And you go, well, is that salvation by works? No, it's not salvation by works. But it's works born out of a faithfulness of what God has given. So for me, there's 4 points in this that I want to bring out. 4 points in this story. One, hospitality is something we do for Jesus. Some of us look a lot like Jesus. Some of us have got a long way to go. You look at Hannes and Mariska. Mariska is just like Jesus. Hannes. Some people are easier to love than others. Some are easier. There's more benefit to having a relationship within others. But Jesus didn't say, in as much as you do this to those who look like me. He said, inasmuch as you do this to the very least of my brothers. And he calls them brothers. Because the family. If my parents decided to visit Cape Town, I wouldn't force them to stay in a hotel. I would open my home. Because the family. We are family. We are family. I got all my sisters from me. Sorry. And here's the deal. When we came to Christ and he bled and died for us, he cut covenant. He entered into a covenant relationship with us. And a covenant relationship meant this. Everything I have is yours. All your debts are mine. And that's why when Jesus said it is finished, he was saying, your debts are paid off because we're now in covenant. I've paid your debts. And I've given you the riches of heaven. But the other part of covenant is, and all your family are mine. So it is actually impossible to be in covenant with Jesus without being in covenant with the family of Jesus. So by default, I'm in covenant with this guy, whether he likes me or not. And that covenant meant all the riches of heaven are ours. But it also meant everything that we have is his. Recognizing that everything we have, he's given us anyway. But we must understand that first and foremost, when I open my home to people, I'm opening my home to Jesus. When I open my heart to somebody, I'm opening my heart to Jesus. You know, we heard, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You go, open the door and go, I didn't know you looked like that, Jesus. You look a bit, because sometimes the person knocking looks like Brendan. But it's actually Jesus. You know, we're having a 412 conference. People around the world are coming to us. I want to ask you, who is 412? Who's 412? It's not Andrew and Will and Jonathan and Brad and we are 412. And 412 as a movement is simply a tool that God has given us to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And the saints, the church, the gathering of the saints, the church is the vehicle God uses to extend his kingdom. So when we ask to host for a 412 conference, for example, it's not because we want a successful conference, it's because we want to extend the kingdom. And opening your home is an act of extending the kingdom of God. And it may not even be opening your home. We'll go to this in a minute. But this preach isn't about having a successful conference at the end of September. I think we've got a lot more hosts than we used to have. And I'm not preaching this. You know, it's like with finances. The truth is, we preach about tithes because God does need your tithe. Actually. He doesn't, but he does. Because if nobody tithed, we couldn't operate. But that's not the primary reason I preach about tithing. I preach about tithing because I know what it is to live in financial blessing, and I want you to be as blessed as I am. We're about to move into an incredible house that we could never afford. God has blessed us hugely. Why? Because we've been faithful. And I want you to walk in that blessing. That's why I teach. I want to talk about hosting, not because we need more homes open for a conference. We do this because I want you to know the blessing. Truly, I tell you, inasmuch as you did it for the very least of my brothers, you did it for me. Please, let's not lose sight of that as we talk about hospitality over these next 3 weeks. What is hospitality? Hospitality is opening our hearts and our lives to Jesus. And then the second thing I see in the story, the second principle is that love always results in a practical action. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was sick, and you visited me. See, hospitality can manifest itself in many ways. You may not be in a position to have somebody stay in your home for a weekend, a week, or a month, or a year. And can I've got this conviction, guys. The way the economy's going, and the way persecution against Christians is going, and increasingly we're seeing Christians removed from the marketplace and removed from businesses and removed from jobs. It's not going to be too long in the future. The only way we're going to survive is if we're all living together. We've got pretty comfortable lives right now. I think if we don't get this now, we're going to be in big trouble 10 years from now. We may be opening, and you know, I've got a nice like 3-bedroom house. I might have 3 families staying in a 3-bedroom house at some point in the future. And we think, how ridiculous would that be? But most of the world actually lives that way. But you may not have a house that you can open. But you know what? You've got hands and feet. You've got skills. Maybe you've got finances. You know, there are some people who've come to us and said, I would love to host somebody, but I literally do not have enough money to feed my own family. How am I going to feed extra mouths if they come? And my answer is, give them a bed, and we'll find somebody to provide the food. Because there may be somebody who can provide the food that can't provide a bed. There may be somebody who can provide transport, or to go visit somebody, or take somebody out for lunch. On a Sunday, hospitality is, from the moment somebody arrives, how welcome does somebody feel? And we've got some visitors this morning. I hope and I pray that you've already been offered pancakes, coffee. People have invited you to their homes for lunch. I hope you kind of thinking these guys are so weird they don't know me and they keep throwing things at. I hope you've been made to feel so welcome that you feel like you've arrived in a family, not in a church. But unless we can put our love into practical action, it means nothing. John said that. If I say I love God but don't love my brother, I'm a liar. And then he says, let us love not just with words, but with deeds. So if I say I love you, but I'm not hospitable towards you, I'm a liar, and I don't love God. And according to Mark 9, you can read this in your own time, Mark 9:41. Even somebody who gives a cup of water gets a great reward in return. That's a pretty good deal, right? If you can get an eternal heavenly reward that lasts forever for a cup of water, I think that's a pretty good investment. It doesn't even have to be kind of expensive bottled water. It can be tap water. And you get an eternal glorious reward for that. And you say, oh, we shouldn't do things for rewards. We should just do things because it's the right thing to do. Well, yeah, we should do things. But God promises us rewards. So why not take advantage of that? Giving little can have massive return. Can I say this? Sometimes it doesn't feel little. To open up your home is inconvenient. It's messy. It's your personal space. You can't wander around naked for the time that you've got visitors there and, you know, all those kind of things. I know Grant loves to do that. Now, I mean, sometimes we've got some stories of people staying with us where Chantal's wanted to rip her hair out, you know, where, you know, she's prepared a nice supper for somebody who's been staying with us, and then they just don't pitch for supper, and they're, oh, sorry, we went out, and, you know. But actually, even that, it is so little in light of what we've been given. So ask this, if you had Jesus staying in your house, invading your personal space, how inconvenient would it be? If you made supper for Jesus and then, you know, he got busy doing some, I don't know, delivering some demon-possessed guy or, you know, one of the things that he would do, and he comes back and he says, I'm sorry, but my food is to do the will of him who sent me. How upset are you going to be with Jesus? Oh, it's all right, Lord, it's you. And yes, there's things we can do, and in the how, we'll talk about that, but there's things we can do to mitigate and minimize problems. But even if there are problems, and let's face it, there are problems with being hospitable. Sometimes you will be generous and get kicked in the face for it. Sometimes you will be generous and the person will be ungrateful. You know, there's this side of human nature that is so ugly that we want more than we've been given, always. That was the nature of sin, actually. Satan was given so much and wanted more. And so you see it. I've seen it in soup kitchens, and this isn't a race thing. This is a human thing. And somebody will open a soup kitchen, and the first day people come, and they're like, oh, thank you, free food. This is incredible. You're amazing. And then within a couple of months, they're saying, no, this soup's not very good. Can't you give us better soup? You know what I'm talking about. And you'll host people and you'll be generous with people and you'll give people. And then, you know, we have this thing called the pantry where we look after families that are going through financial hardship. So we want to provide food and basic necessities for them. And I've had people go, wasn't very much meat in that package. What? That is what will happen. But you're not doing it for the praise of man. You're not doing it actually for the gratitude of man. Because we're supposed to love like Jesus loved. And when he came and he died for us, we spat in his face, actually. So we've got to do it. And there may be a cost. But it's faithfulness according to your means. He gave the different guys different numbers of talents. We're not asking anybody to get into debt, to go above your means. We're not expecting you to put on lavish entertainment. You know, even a little thing, like I've got uncapped Wi-Fi. When you have Brazilians in your house, they love Wi-Fi. The first question you'll get if you're hosting a Brazilian is, what's your Wi-Fi password? And if you've got a ceiling on your Wi-Fi, they will chow that in a day. So you can simply say, listen, you can have the password, but we only have this. You don't have to go out and spend thousands on extra data to host a Brazilian person. But if you've got unlimited Wi-Fi, give them unlimited Wi-Fi. So much is given, much is expected. But we're not expecting you to go above what your ability is. The third point in this story, whatever you've done for the least of these. You know, John, 1 John 4 verse 20, says we can and should love our brothers. But hospitality is about loving strangers. And James warns against favoritism. He says, when a rich man comes in, do you give him special treatment? That's a sin. Do we give special treatment to the people that we, you know, I'll open my home if it's to one of the apostolic team leaders. But I don't want some kind of nobody from Pofada. No offense to Pofada, of course. Both the people that live there. You know, some years ago we had major problems in South Africa, and especially in Dunoon, with xenophobic violence. Phobic is fear, and xeno is the word for stranger or alien. So there was xenophobic violence. The answer, and the churches rose up, was with xenophilos, loving of strangers. And we reached out to those people, and we fed them, and you were a big part of that at the time, were you, Dylan? When they were the hundreds of them staying at the Liebram van Niekerkol, we took food for days, and it was an incredible testimony of the love of Jesus to people who could give us nothing in return. And many people were involved in that. Some giving a packet of soup, some giving the time, some helping with transport, some just going praying for people. There is an incredible reward in heaven. And Jesus said, blessed are you, for in as much as you've done it to the very least of my brothers, you've done it unto me. And I've hit this a few times, but my final point, which I want to hit on, what we're doing when we show hospitality, whether it be a Sunday, a Wednesday, a conference, somebody who's between houses, whatever it is, in any way we can show hospitality, whether it's a glass of water or opening our home, what we're doing has eternal significance. We're doing it for the sake of eternity. Jesus in verse 34 says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's words I want to hear one day. I don't want to hear, cursed are you. I don't want to hear the words that he said to the servant he gave one talent to, and the servant wasn't faithful with that one talent. He hadn't been given much. But the master said, if only you just invested that with the bank, at least I would have got interest. But you hid it and did nothing with it. You were unfaithful with the little I gave you. You wicked, lazy servant. I don't want to stand before Jesus and hear, you wicked, lazy servant. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom that has been prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. Compared to that, what is a glass of water, a meal, transport, a tank of petrol, a bedroom, a house? I believe the Lord is calling to us to a higher standard of loving each other and loving strangers. He's calling us to a higher level of hospitality and love. He's calling us to a higher level of sacrifice. And many of us have done that. You know, they don't like me doing this, but I'll sing like Dylan and Norlene. For years, they had drug addicts coming through their house and staying with them. And drug addicts who ripped them off, stole from them, broke things, kept them awake at night. Pretty much every inconvenience. How many of you want a drug addict living in your house? Come on, be honest. And you know what? They gave of themselves and gave of themselves repeatedly. And they got hurt. They got disappointed. They got let down. They got taken advantage of. And then the next drug addict came along, and what did they do? They opened the home again. Why? because they don't look. No, because. Because they understood this principle that they, as much as they were doing it for love of those drug addicts, actually they were doing it for Jesus. And if it cost them a bit of money or a TV or some sleepless nights, actually that's a reward that's being stored up in heaven that is far more valuable than a TV or whatever it is. And I hope we're feeling challenged to say, you know what? I've got to open my life again. And as I open my life and open my heart, practically speaking, I will be the one that gives the drink, gives the food, visits the prison, visits the sick, opens my home, and welcomes in the stranger. I feel like the Lord's asking for a response from us. Maybe some of us have drifted away from our first love. Maybe we've drifted away from the values that we once held dear. And you know, the word repentance, we know this. Repentance is a turning away from one thing and turning back to Christ. And there's a sense that some of us, I think, we've been running the race well, but maybe we've just been drawn to one side and we're kind of drifting away from where we should be going in an area of our lives. And we need to make that correction. Repentance is simply that. It's making that correction back to Jesus. And we're not talking about salvation by works. A picture I've often used is, you know, I would have done it with Hannes, but, you know, get somebody here to get on all fours and start barking like a dog. If Hannes came here and started barking like a dog, how long would it take before he actually became a dog? No, he would never become a dog by barking. But if I brought a dog here, what would the dog do? The dog would bark because it's a dog. And so what Jesus isn't saying here is, do these things and you'll be saved. He's saying, because you're saved, these are the things that you will do. And if you're not doing them, it's probably an indication that your heart isn't where it should be. Maybe you have forgotten the hospitality we've received from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Maybe we've just got lazy. Maybe we've got comfortable. Maybe we've begun to value the things of this world more than the things of the next. So as Jesus said to the church in Revelation, let's repent and do what we did at first. Let's go back to that place where everything we had, we gladly gave and lay at his feet. Let's come back to that place where our practice matches our theology. Can we just take a moment to close our eyes? And if you're sat here and you've been doing this well, then Jesus is saying, well done. Well done. But those of us who haven't been doing it well, let's just take a moment to come before Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to shift my heart. Whatever little, however much I can give, Lord, I want to give it to you. And I know that the way I give it to you is often by giving it the least of those that you've surrounded me with. Well, I don't want to be somebody who just loves people like me. I want to be a lover of strangers. And as much as I'm doing this, because as I do this to others, I do it to you. But the other thing, the opposite is also true, that as I do it to others, they see that it's coming from you. And I want to display you to the world. I want to display you to my brothers and sisters. I want to display you to people in need, that they might see the love of Jesus. And we want to realign ourselves back to the values of your kingdom and your values. And you said you're preparing a home for us, the ultimate hospitality. And if you're here this morning and you've actually never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe you've done the religious thing, the church thing, but actually when we talk about a relationship with Jesus, that's something that you've never actually experienced or entered into. That relationship is not entered into by works. It's not entered into by doing good things. I think it was Keith Green himself who said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. But by his grace, his undeserved favor, he comes and he reaches out to us. And he shows us the ultimate hospitality, that when we were still strangers, when we were still enemies, when we were refugees, he reached out to us and said, I want to have a relationship with you, and I want to make you part of my family. I want to put the lonely into family. And I want to have a covenant relationship with you where I become family to you and my family become family to you. And if you're here this morning and that's never been a reality to you, today is the day of opportunity. Because Jesus was very clear, there is an eternity for us, an eternity of blessing with him or an eternity of punishment without him. And he says this morning, choose me. Because I'm reaching out, knocking at the door of your heart.